to love you like God loves you. I'm going to love my neighbor like God loves them. That you will love a certain way. You won't just give them hugs. You won't just say, hey, I love you. You'll be patient with them. You'll be kind. You will be not seeking them out for something you can gain from a relationship. Those sorts of things, things we've looked at. Let's look at this one. 1 Corinthians 13:5 tells us that the love of God is not provoked. Let me translate that for you. He's not in a bad mood. All right? What that means is you can in relationship with him, you can walk in such a way that might provoke him to not love you. All right? And it says that he is not provoked. That when he loves you, he's not provoked, meaning he's got something going on in there when he thinks about you that keeps him in a happy mood. You ever been provoked? It's generally when we're grumpy. And if we're feeling good, it's tough to get us provoked. Like if I'm just having a great day, something bad happens, I'm like, well, no big deal. I'm having a grumpy day and some little thing happens, it just ruins my whole day. You know what I'm saying? So let's look at his joy. I think that is the characteristic of his love that is not provoked, that he's so filled with gladness, joy, and rejoicing that he's not provoked. He's so filled with joy. The God who created the cosmos and who orchestrated and leads history with all power and perfection is filled with joy and delight over his creation. He took great delight in making his creation. He's filled with gladness as he thinks about where our future with him is headed. The characteristic of joy in God's love and nature is very much overlooked and shrouded in unbelief. I'll tell you a story. I wanted to find a picture, I mean a good one, not a cartoon, a good one of Jesus being joyful. You know, of all the paintings and of all the whatever, you know, there's so many portrayals of what Jesus looks like. So, of course, I Google it, Jesus joyful, search. And nothing, just kind of a couple of cartoon and goofy things came up, so I just deleted joyful and I put Jesus, picture of Jesus. I had to go through probably 10 or 12 pages on Google, and there's how many images on a page, right? To find one that made him look a little bit like he was happy. He didn't have a full-on smile, but I was like, oh, he doesn't look quite grumpy in this one. How do we, and it just, it shows us how we think about him. Of all the artists that ever drew him and ever made a painting, even the famous ones, he's somber. He's sober, he's straight-faced. Half of him, he's grumpy-looking. Half of him, he's just kind of detached. He just kind of looks like he's above everything and just kind of, you know, not even attached to emotion. And then you find some corny ones. We know the one where Jesus is like, you know, that one. But I was looking for one, I mean, just show me a genuine face. And I come across a picture of an actor who portrayed him. In a movie. It was actually called The Video Bible. This guy's name was Bruce Marciano. And I looked it up, and it was fascinating. It was actually into what I was talking about. This guy is, have you guys ever seen the book of Matthew, The Video Bible? Nobody's ever seen it. YouTube it. It's, Jim Smith and I were talking about it. And it's funny because we both talked about how this guy seems to portray a joyful Jesus that we're not used to. And it kind of sets us off. You're like, no, he couldn't have been that smiling and joyful. And so this guy tells his story. He was asked to act for this book of Matthew as Jesus. And the director said, Bruce, I want you to portray joy. I want you to portray a joyful God. Now, Bruce had been saved for about 12 years, and Bruce was a faithful follower of Jesus, and he said, I don't think I can do that. I think it'd be not portraying him rightly. I'd have a real problem with just being happy and smiley all the time. And the guy said, I want you to take 7 weeks, and I want you to read the Gospels and look for the joy of God. and just see if the Lord moves on you. If he does, I want you to really try to portray him as joyful. And so he did, and he began to search the scriptures, and he began to look, and we'll look at this. We won't get to it this week. We'll get to it in 2 weeks. He began to look at, surely he had to have some form of joy, or there wouldn't have been the attraction of people to him. He's grumpy all the time. He's real stoic all the time. And he had an encounter with the Lord that was significant. But one of the most neat things that happened is he's got a niece that's about 8 years old. And this niece had a real encounter with God. And she heard that her uncle was going to be portraying Jesus in a movie. And so Bruce's sister calls him and she says, "Hey, I was talking to your niece and I said, hey, Uncle Bruce is going to play Jesus in a movie." Sister got, and the niece got all kind of concerned about that. And she said, "Well, Uncle Bruce doesn't smile, Mom." And she said, "Jesus smiles all the time." And she goes, "I mean, if he's going to play Jesus, I really want him to be smiling and joyful and laughter, because that's what Jesus is like, Mom." Through the mouths of babes, right? All right? So it's really actually kind of shrouded in unbelief that he could actually be joyful all the time. Even when he's maybe making a correction, that he's doing it with a heart of joy. And I begin to try to change even my own, as I'm reading the scriptures, I'm beginning to try to change my picture of what it looks like when he talks. Of what it looks like when he's interacting. And surely, as I read it and read it in a kind of a reality context, it's mind-blowing. I want to do one story, and then we'll be done. I'm just going to whet your appetite with this. Turn to John. And you can take these notes home and study them, and we'll have them kind of revamped for 2 weeks from now, along with the mercy of God. So I want you to go to John chapter 4. This is a story of the woman of Samaria that we have this encounter. Everybody kind of knows this story. Let's pick it up in verse 6. John chapter 4. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. That means it's about noon, hot heat of the day. And we know a few things about this story. This woman was filled with shame, and that's why she came out at noon to draw water, and all the other women came out at other times. But she had multiple husbands. She's been rejected multiple times, and the whole city knows her. And so she's coming out there by herself at the hottest hour where she knows no one's going to be there. And here's Jesus. Now picture yourself, guys, ladies, filled with shame, and you don't want to see anybody. That's why you're there at noon. You don't want anybody to talk to you. You want to get your water, and you want to get back to your house. Now here's this guy sitting there that you don't know. All right? Now, picture this. The guy says, "Give me a drink." Now, would you get him a drink? If he said it like that, you don't want to be there anyway. You just like don't want to see anybody. Here's this guy sitting at the well. You kind of, "Hey, can you move so I could get my water? You're sitting right in the well. Hey, get me a drink." You think she'd do it? You think she'd open up and have a conversation about her heart with him? Or do you think maybe it was something like this? "Hey, how are you?" "I'm fine. Coming to get some water?" "Yeah." "Hey, I don't have anything to draw water with. Could I have some of yours?" Maybe something like that. Rather than, and it just says here, it just "give me a drink," verse 7. Right? How do we picture it? Do we picture it in reality? What would it have had to have been like to capture her heart? To have a conversation with a broken woman that you don't know? That doesn't want to be around people anyway. Now you find yourself, just a few verses in, having a conversation with this man, being open with him, Now, can you imagine if he was grumpy and stern and stoic? If she would have been able to do that? You know, no, she wouldn't have. I love how we'll get to some other verses, but I'm gonna use Mario as an example. They would bring kids to Jesus, and they would flock the guy. You ever tried to get your kid to a grumpy man? Kind of a real stoic, kind of a grump? And have your little infant go up there and get around him? You ever try to hand your kid off to a happy babysitter? They don't even want that. They're like, no, 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 no. I want mom, or I want dad. So what would this man had to have been like for children to want to flock around him? You know who I think about is Mario. Right? You know, there's this joyful guy. The kids love him. And I try to get around kids, and they're kind of not as friendly with me. You know? But Mario, they can't leave him alone. They just flock the guy. And he's got this giddy, little happy, little childlike interaction with them that just attracts them. Now, I promise you that was far more what God in the flesh was like than like the stoic guy in the picture that we see. How do you get a bunch of kids to hang around him, want to stay around him? He's fun. He's smiling. He's happy. All right, so there's your little appetizer for we're going to be talking about this. There's so much here that we're going to be able to talk about. But think about how he loves. It's real. Again, he's not kind of stirring himself up. All right, the kids are here. Time to be happy. I do that. Right? It's all the time. It's who he is. It's how he loves. Okay, he's not stirring himself up to be joyful. He is the most joyful person, joyful God that you could ever imagine. And we will cover that in 2 weeks. Amen?